They sing one of my favorite songs tonight. I enjoy that. And I believe it with all of my being that we're living in the last days. I believe it with all of my heart. I think all you have to do is just look around and see that we're just waiting for the trumpet to sound. I believe it could be any moment. Amen. Turn with me tonight to Micah chapter 6. Micah, one of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 6. Begin reading with verse 1. Micah chapter 6. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherewith have I wearied thee? So here's God talking to him. He said, why are you tired of serving me? What's so hard about serving me? For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent thee before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim to Gilgal, that thou may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is so hard about serving God? That's the question God asked his people. He said, are you tired out? Are you weary in serving me? Are you worn out, sir? What's so hard about serving him? And I want to look tonight at what God's requirements are, but what's so hard about serving God? The devil tries to tell you, just like he did me, that serving God's tough. That it's just a hard road, and a lot of people describe it as this cross that I have to bear. And some of you have seen the man that walks up and down the road with the cross with the wheel on the back. I've seen him before walking through Sherman, Texas, pulling a big heavy wooden cross. And I've seen some people that live their religion that way, that Christianity, living for Christ and serving Jesus, is just some big heavy cross. And they walk around about like this. Let me tell you what, serving Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Amen. And so here Micah is, and God asked, he said, the Lord has a controversy with his people. And he asked the question, what have I done? Why have I wearied you? Why are you worn out? Why are you tired of serving me? What's so hard about serving Christ? God answers him and he tells him, he said, I brought you out of Egypt. I've given you freedom. I've given you liberty. I've given you folks to lead you. And then he goes back to Balaam. And I thought that was interesting. And he said, listen to what Balak told Balaam and what Balaam told Balak. So I look back. What happened? We know the story. Balak was the king. And he said, I want you to go curse God's people. And he said, I'll promote you to very great honor and do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me a house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Balaam boiled down Christianity in one sentence. He said, I can't do anything more or less than what God says. He said, listen, and that's what God said. God said, are you tired of serving me? Go back to what Balaam said. What Balaam told Balak. Balak said, I can't do anything more or less than what God tells me. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that is Christianity in a nutshell. You can't do any more
or less than what God tells you. You do that, you'll make it to heaven. Amen. It's not complicated. And so then Micah goes on and he says, how can I come before God and bow myself before the Most High God? What will it take for me to get into God's presence? What will it take for me to for God to hear me or for God to answer me? He asked a question that a lot of people ask. How can I talk to God? How can I meet with God? How would God answer me? How will God listen to me? It's not in a pose. Kneeling, standing, sitting, driving your car. God will talk to you anywhere. It's not necessarily in a place. I'm glad we have an altar for you to come pray, but you're not restricted to pray at this altar. You can pray. You can pray. I told y'all the other night, I was in the chapel while nobody was around. The lights were off. Everybody else was in a dorm. When God met the need of my heart, I was by myself. In fact, I was sitting on the altar, had my Bible out when God met my need. But a lot of people make it hard. They say, well, you got to do this, or you've got to do that, or this or that. And they give you this whole list of things. And God said, no, 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 no. And so Micah asked this. He said, how can I come before the Lord? How can I bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? What sacrifice could I bring to God that'll make Him happy with me? Again, the questions asked today, same thing. What can I do to be a Christian? What can I do to be saved? And how can I do something to please God? I worked with a man, and over again he told me, he said, I just hope when I get to heaven that my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. He said, I'm trying to put some things in the good pot. So he had the ashtray in the truck, and he told me that was purgatory. And so if he said a cuss word, he'd say, I'm putting money in purgatory, Chuck, to pay for my sins. Randy, you can't do that. You can't pay for your sins. You can't put money in the offering plate to pay for your sins. You can't come to church enough times to pay for your sins. You can't pray enough prayers or sing enough songs to pay for your own sins. That's not how it works. So Micah here, he said, how can I come before God? What can I do to make myself pleasing to God? Can I bring burnt offerings? Calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? So he ramps it up a notch. One sacrifice wasn't enough. He said, what if I give God 1,000 sacrifices? Thousands of rams. And then he said, tens of thousands of rivers of oil. He ramps it up another notch. Is there something I can do to buy God's favor? Is there something I can do to get God's smile on my life? And then he ramps it up another. I mean, he's turning up the heat here. He said, can I give a sacrifice? What about a sacrifice, a year-old calf? That's the best of the flock. What about 10,000 rams, or thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers? And then he says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body? He said, can I give my firstborn son to God, and that by my salvation? And the answer here is not written but implied. He said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require thee? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Do justly. That means to live in such a way. Jesus boiled the commandments down the same way in Luke chapter 10. A lawyer asked him, he said, Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to buy salvation? That was their thought process in that day. How can I buy it? Can I put money in and will that? Can I do good works? Can I do good things? Can I give to the United Way and the Salvation Army and maybe buy a meal for the person that has a cardboard sign? What can I do to please God? The lawyer said, what will I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10. He said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul,
and all thy strength and all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, you answered right, this do and you'll live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. He boiled the Ten Commandments down to two. He said, if you love God with all of your heart, and you put God first in your life, and you love your fellow man like God loves him, he said, you'll make it. Micah here, he said, what do I do? Can I sacrifice enough to buy my salvation? Can I do something that'll get me into heaven? And he says, showed you what's good. What's God required? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Several things I want to look at tonight. And I want to tell you, it's not hard to serve God. It's not. Just a few things I want to look at. The first thing is, there has to be a turning of your way. I said the other night that a backslider in his heart will be filled with his own way. Double-minded man's unstable in his way. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but God weighs the spirit. So in the mind of a person that is unsaved, I believe fully that they think they're doing all right most of the time. They think they're doing... Almost everybody I talk to wants to go to heaven. Amen. They really do. And so they're not going to do something. If they do something wrong, they're going to feel bad about it. But God wants to change your way. Proverbs 4, he said, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. He said, be diligent to take heed to the commandment, the law that Moses charged you, and love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways. God wants you to turn from your ways, from doing what you want to do, from getting your own way to doing his way. Now that's just simple. I'm not some great august theologian, but I'll tell you this. God wants you to turn from doing what you want to do, doing your will and your way, to do what he wants you to do. And that's what repentance is all about. When you come and you pray, you say, God, I've tried it my way and I've messed up. I've tried it my way and I've made a mess out of everything. I've tried doing what I wanted to do. And Lord, it's not working out. And I want to do your way now. Amen. Simple as that. Just as simple as that. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. God, when I did it my way, my life began to unravel. When I did it my way, I did things that I know are against what you asked me to do. When I did it my way, I hurt my neighbor and I hurt my friends and I hurt my family. And Lord, that's what happens when I did it my way. And I want you to change my heart so that I can do it your way. That's just as simple as I can put it tonight. It's a changed way. Amen. Repentance. Just turning from your old life, your old way, the old way of doing things, the old way of self being the one that decides everything, and me, it's all about me, selfishness, I don't care about anybody else, it's all about me. Turning 180 degrees and saying, God, it's all about you now. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk in your will, walk in your way. I'm going to stay out of the... He said, enter not in the path of the weak. Just, it's a complete change in direction, 180 degrees. Second thing, and this again is very simple tonight, and that is you've got to consecrate your will to God. When I was a kid, I read a book called White Fang. Jack London wrote it. Interesting book about a wolf dog. Whedon Scott was the master. He had this wolf dog and loved it. And he's half dog, half wolf, and he survive life in the wild, learn to come and live among men. But he was fond of chickens. And one night he went and raided the chicken house and killed 50 hens. Whedon Scott came in and scolded him and took him to the chicken yard. And the story says when White Fang saw his favorite food walking in front of him, he obeyed his natural impulse and lunged for a chicken. He was checked by his master's voice.
And the story says they stayed in the chicken yard for quite a while, and every time White Fang moved toward a chicken, his master's voice would stop him. He said, in this way, he learned what his master wanted. He had learned to ignore the chickens. Whedon Scott's father said, you can't cure a chicken killer. But Whedon challenged him, and they agreed to lock White Fang in with the chickens all afternoon. So they put him in the chicken pen, locked the door, and left. White Fang, in the story that Jack London writes, he said, White Fang lay down and went to sleep. Once in a while, he walked over to the trough to get a drink of water. He ignored the chickens. As far as he was concerned, they didn't exist. At 4 o'clock, he executed a running jump, gained the roof of the chicken house, and leaped to the ground outside, whence he sauntered gravely to the house. He had learned the law. Out of love and a desire to obey his master, White Fang overcame those natural inborn desires. He didn't understand the reason, but he chose to bend his will to his master. The person that wrote this said the simplicity and purity of White Fang's love and devotion to his master help us to realize that life will always be full of chickens. What we have to decide is, who are we going to serve? A consecrated will. That's the second thing. Just a complete change in direction. Say, God, I'm through with the old life of sin that brought nothing but heartache and sorrow. I'm going to do what you... And then to say, Lord, it's not my will, but it's you. He said, he has showed the old man what's good. What does the Lord require of you? Do justly. That has to do with how you treat your fellow man, how you act in society. Do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. If you're going to walk humbly with God, you're going to walk His way. When I had little kids, we'd take them to the mall. We'd hold their hand, and we'd walk. And sister, there was a little store in there called KB Toys. And it was like a magnet. Wow, they wanted to go in there. Now it's Gander Mountain or Cabela's or, you know, a little more expensive toys, brother. But when mom and dad are walking this way and little one goes that way, he's not wanting to do the will of mom and dad, is he? He wants his own. This is just as simple as I can put it tonight. But when he wants to do what mom and dad, he says, I'm going where mom and dad are going. I don't know where mom and dad are taking me, but we're headed in somewhere good. I know mom and dad, right? Amen. I don't know where God's going to take me. Right now, I'm not pastoring a church, Brother Cable. I don't know what God wants me to do. I've prayed about it. I've prayed about some churches. They've called and said, Brother Dodd, we want you to pray about pastoring. You know what? No idea. Right now, I'm just saying, God, when you show me what you want me to do, if you show me you want, I told somebody today, I said, I'll go to Zimbabwe if that's where God wants me to go. I will. If God calls me to go start a church somewhere, that's what I want to do. If God tells me you stay in Sherman, Texas until I tell you what to do, that's what I want to do. Why? My will is completely surrendered to His will. I don't know what He has for me. I don't know where He's going to lead me. I don't know what He wants me to do. All I know is I've got my hand in His hand, and I say, God, I'm not wanting what I want. If I want what I want, that caused me trouble. When I wanted my own way, that caused me trouble. God, my hand's in your hand. You just lead me where you want me to go. 1 John chapter 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He said, there's going to be things that are going to grab your attention like Toys R Us. I saw some smiles over here. Toys R Us. That got somebody's attention. It's not Toys R Us for you. But the devil has his way of having those billboards out there. Not literal billboards. But he says, hey, don't you want to try that? Don't you want to go there? Don't you want to do that? And he makes it look so attractive. Hebrews 13:20, the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. That's what God wants. He said, what does the Lord require of me? He requires me to change directions and to follow Him. The third thing He requires of us is a careful walk. He said, there no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. I told you, you put your hand in His hand and say, Lord, I'm surrendered to Your will, and now I'm going to walk where You want me to walk. I took my boys, and two of my boys had young ladies with them this summer, and Chip's girlfriend came, and she had a friend with her, and we went down to Louisiana to the nature walk down in Cameron, Louisiana. If you haven't been down there, it's very neat. You go down to Cameron, drive along toward the Gulf of Mexico, and as you're going along, you stop, and there's a nature walk out there. And I said, let's get out. We got out, Brett. We walked from here to Brett. I said, forget it. And I got back in the car. The mosquitoes tore me up so bad. But they didn't used to be that bad. They just absolutely covered us, the mosquitoes, swamp mosquitoes. And so, but the time I'd been there before, I'd been there and was there with my brother Mark and a whole bunch of people, and we went on the nature walk. And so you go down, and it's a sidewalk, and it goes out through the swamp, and you just walk, and you can see all the beautiful birds and the cattails, and we were walking along, we were talking, we were having so much fun, and we were just having a blast. And you get to look out there, and you get to see the muskrats that are out there, and the nutria, and you get to see the garfish. You can see them swimming around in there. And pretty soon we looked over, and there were some little alligators about that long. And so Mark and I, we picked up some rocks, and we were like, and we were throwing them at the little baby alligators. And we were trying to make them swim. And we were picking up stuff, and for whatever reason, I turned around, and Mama was right there, and she was headed in my direction. I wasn't being very careful in my walk. I was from that point on, after I got done doing what Brother Rocky said and doing the 50-yard dash in about 6.3 seconds. I hit it fast. You'd have had to work hard to keep up with me, brother, because I was booking it. I was putting it up, picking them up, and putting them down. Because they can move. Here I was on this walk, and I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. There were signs up there. I realized it later. When we first went on the nature walk, it says, be careful. There's alligators out here. And when I went back and looked, there was a big old muddy spot where she had just crossed over the sidewalk. But I wasn't paying attention. The carefulness of your walk. When we're walking with Him, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I pray that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you to His kingdom and His glory. Walk not after the flesh. You've got to be careful on this walk. You say, Lord, I'm surrendered to Your will. But there's still the walk. Amen. The devil's going to try and distract you, try and get you to turn aside. Now, the next time I went back on the nature walk, I had made up my mind that I was going to be careful, that I was going to look around, and that I wasn't going to throw rocks at baby alligators. Why? Because I was almost bit. The other day, I was up at one of my water towers. I have two water towers, and one water tower is up on a hill, and there's no well there, so we don't go there very often. The other wells, we have to check them every day. Well 1, well 2, well 3, well 4, well 5. I go to them every single day. I check them. I check the chlorine. We keep them weed-eated. We keep them mowed. But the Highway 69 tower, Brett will tell you, it's up on a hill. Nobody's around. It's fenced off. And so the grass gets up about that high. And so I brought
my mower up there. It's been just a little while ago. Brought a mower up there and mowed it all and got it all looking nice. And I brought my weed eater up there, and I thought, I'm going to weed eat this thing. So I was going and water tower that has legs, and there was an old standpipe over there. And I was weed eating around that, and I got around one of the valve stacks. And it looked like a volcano came out of that thing. But it was some sort of bees. I don't know if it's ground hornets, bumblebees. They look like bumblebees. And they began to go, and they just wore me out. They wore me out all over that field. I ran. I looked like I was running. My legs were flailing. I lost my cell phone. I was screaming and hollering and running, and they just kept chasing me. Next time I went back, guess what? I did not go over there by that stack. Well, the next time I went back, I poured gasoline all over it. But I hadn't weed-eated around the stack since. That's been over 2 years ago. I hadn't weed-eated around it. I don't care. I'm not going to check and see if those guys are still in there. I'm staying clear from it. Absolutely, 100%, I'm not going over there. I'll send David up there. David can go weed-eat it. Carefulness of your walk is what I'm telling you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 7, he said, godly sorrow works repentance. In other words, if you've ever been sorry for your sins and had to repent or turn from your sins and had to say, God, I'm so sorry, he said, you don't want to do it again. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Okay? So that means there is things, if you don't repent of them, there is that condemnation that you have that will wear you out. Amen. People that don't get forgiveness of their sins, they live with that awful heavy weight of sin on their shoulders. So he said that there's a sorrow that's not after a godly sort. That's that thing that just plagues your mind in the night hours. I wish I hadn't have done that. So, okay. Now he said, godly sorrow works repentance. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation, what fear, vehement desire, zeal. In all things you've approved yourself to be clear of the matter. He's writing to them and he said, you know, he said, when God forgives you of something, you stay clear away from it. When God takes that awful burden off of your heart and off of your soul, he said, it makes you careful next time. You don't go back over there. I don't go back by the valve stack. I got stung. Amen. You steer clear of the things that caused you trouble before. So it's the carefulness of your walk. The next thing is that it causes is a cautious watchfulness. He said, see that you walk circumspectly and not as fools. I have an illustration of that word, circumspect. Okay, it's a combination of two words. One word, circum, which means circle. Spect, which is where we get spectacles, eyeglasses. And I heard this story, and I thought I'd tell you this, and that way you'll remember it. But I heard a gospel singer one time, and he was almost blind. His name was Ronnie Hinson, and he wrote The Lighthouse. But he was almost blind, and he told me, or he was telling the story about walking in a store. And he said, I was walking in a store, and he said, I had a CNI dog. And he said, I went in, and he said, I was going like this with that CNI dog in the middle of the store. And he said, the man came over there and said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm just looking around. See? That's what circumspectly means. That means looking around. Okay? Now you remember that. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, the devil's after you. So here we are. We're walking in God's direction, doing God's will, putting our hand in God's hand. We're walking carefully, but he said, we're watching carefully too. Looking around. Why? The devil would love to get us. Azariah, he was talking about playing, shooting laser
guns right before church. And I started to tell you, I was going to tell you a story about shooting laser guns. My boys love to go to a place called Laser Tag. And so I went there the other day. It was somebody's birthday. I don't remember who it was, but we went to play laser tag. And you put a vest on, okay? And it's got all these lights on it that blink red or blue. And so you get to decide what team you're on, and it's hooked up to a laser gun. Those of y'all who haven't played laser tag don't know what you're missing. And it's a big two-story building that's huge, and it's got walkways, and it's got stairways, and it's got tunnels, and it's got barrels, and it's got all these places to hide. And so you go in there to play. Have you played laser tag? Oh, come on, it's fun. And so you go in there, and you've got this gun, and they say, go! And everybody goes, shoo, 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 shoo. And I have my own favorite place to hide. My brother-in-law's got his own favorite place to hide. And so you go in there, and these lights, it's dark, just totally dark, but it's got some black lights in there, and so you can barely see, and you see these lights. And so we would run upstairs, and we would look out there, and we had a place where we could go, and these little kids would come in there, and they didn't know what they were doing. So they're walking around, and we would go, pew, like that. And when you do that, the laser hits them, and it goes, and then it deactivates them, and they have to stand there. And so then a little while later, you go, pew. And so we would stand up there, and those little kids, every time they would move, we would go, pew, and they go, pew. And they would move, and we'd go, pew. Where are they? Where are they? They let their guard down, and we knew where to hide. It's a constant warfare. So you try and see how many times you can get the opponent's team and make deactivate them, and they see how many times they can get you. And when you go walk outside, there's a big scoreboard, and they hand you your score, and you say, you got killed this many times, and you killed them this many times. And so you get to see how many good shots you made in your laser tag. But there was people there that would get tired of it. They get frustrated. Ah, come on, why are you, who's shooting me? Where are they? But you had to stick with it when you're playing laser tag. So here, I'm telling you how to live a Christian life. It's a consistent warfare. It's much more important than laser tag. But the devil's doing his best to shoot you. He's doing his best. Listen to this. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that ye may withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Amen. We're to turn completely in the other direction. Put our hand in his hand. Walk in the direction he's walking. Watch. And then he said, we're to be good Christian soldiers. We're to fight the enemy with the sword of God's word. I heard a preacher years and years ago. He said, quit arguing with the devil. Jesus didn't even argue with the devil. When the devil came to him and said, Lord, why don't you jump off? You know what he said? It's written. He said, Lord, turn the stones into bread, and these people will worship you. You know what Jesus said? It is written. It is written. And this preacher said, hit him with the book. Don't argue with the devil. The devil's a better arguer. He's been at it for thousands of years. Just say, devil, get thee behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. God's word says you have to flee. Then we are to continue in his word. And that goes with this. Jesus told the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's your roadmap. This is how we know God's will. I told you to put your hand in God's hand and say, God, I'm going your direction. But how can you know his direction? This is how, right here. God tells you the direction. He tells you how to live. Tells you how to treat your fellow man. He tells you how to work in business. Do you know that? He tells you how to, amen. He tells you how to handle your finances. He tells you how to handle your love life. He tells you how to handle raising kids. He tells you how to handle singleness. He tells you how to handle everything that you're going to face in life. You can find the answer for it right there. Amen.
If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Last of all, last thing that we have to do is to worship him. We walk with him, we do his will. David wrote, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" So here the same questions being asked. How can I go to God? How can I come before the Lord? How can I bow myself down before the Most High God? What can I do to get God's approval? And what can I do to be in God's presence? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, that means pride, nor sworn deceitfully, that means lying, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. David said, how can I go into God's presence? With clean hands and a pure heart. How do you get clean hands and a pure heart? It's just as simple, glad you asked. You say, God, I want clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me. And you know what? He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then say, I need a pure heart. He said, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Micah wrote, he has showed thee, O man, what's good. What's the Lord require of thee? 10,000 rivers of oil? My firstborn? Thousands of rams? The best of my flock? Is that what God wants? No. What God wants from you is to say, Lord, I'm walking your direction. I've got my hand in yours, and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. That's just about as simple as I can put it tonight. A lot of people make it so hard. But if you'll walk with God, I've had people ask me when I go to the hospital, they say, what church do you belong to? And sometimes I tell them, sometimes I say, well, right now I'm here with the hospital. Well, what church is right? And you know what I tell them? If you will find and do God's will, love him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and you do everything that's God says, and it's right there. I said, you don't have to belong to my church. You don't have to be a member of the First Church of the Chucky Dodd. You don't have to. You can if you know. All you have to do is say, God, show me what you want me to do, how you want me to live. I'm going to do it. And you can make it to the city of God. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Heavenly Father, we're glad that you showed us how we can have a relationship with you. You showed us how to make it to heaven, and it wasn't hard. All we have to do is love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Love our neighbors, ourselves. Lord, if we'll do that, you said we'd make it. You said if we'd continue in your word, we'd make it. If we would do your will, we'll make it, Lord. It's not something hard, but it's something that even a child can do. You said, unless we come to you as a little child, we can no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You made it simple enough that even a baby, just a little one, can understand. We pray tonight that you would help each one that's here. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know that they're ready, if they're still carrying that weight of sin, Lord, it's easy. They can find peace tonight. They can find forgiveness. God, I pray that you'd help each one that's here tonight. Lord, you know the hearts that are here. I want you to know this altar is always open. You can come and you can pray. We'll pray with you. But if not, I want you to know it's God wants to meet with you. He calls us to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to say, Lord, here's a sinner. Here's God. I want to get you two together. That's our calling, to bring you
to God and bring God to you. God wants to meet with you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to save you tonight. And He'll do it with just a simple prayer. Is there anyone tonight that would like to pray? Heavenly Father, again we come to you tonight. We are so thankful that you made the way so easy. You said a fool will not even err therein. Someone, Lord, that doesn't even have any sense can find the way to heaven. Lord, you made the way easy. You showed us the way. I pray tonight that you'd help. You know if there's any here tonight. We don't know, but you know the hearts of each one that's here. And if there's one that is not sure, if they're ready to go to heaven, I pray that you'd talk to their hearts, that you would speak to them, Lord, and help them. Lord, we know that you want to save sinners. You came to save sinners. You came to turn their lives around, to get them ready to go to heaven. And Lord, we pray tonight that each one that's here would have that knowledge, that assurance in their heart. We ask these things in your name. Amen.